وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، اتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، we thank Allah سبحانه وتعالى for it is from His mercy that we have been able to reconvene to continue the reading and explanation of the book Al-Arba'un Al-Nawawiyya by Al-Imam Yahya Sharafuddin Al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. Today, inshallah, we'll be reading Al-Hadith Al-Sadis Wal-Ishruf. We'll be reading the 26th Hadith in the compilation. Before we had the very, very short break, we had read the hadith of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, the 25th hadith, wherein some of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam went to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that Zahaba ahlul dufuri bil ujur. The people who have wealth have taken all the rewards. And he told them what they will do, alayhi salatu wasalam, so as to get much rewards too. But like we said to us that in one of the riwayah, in one of the collection of that hadith, when the rich people, the muhajirun, and those of them amongst the ansar, when they heard that there is a lot of benefits in tasbih, in tahleel, in takbir, and all these that he said they should do, alayhi salatu wasalam, they also rushed to do it. And the poor people went back to the Prophet again, alayhi salatu wasalam. So they started doing what we are doing too. And he said, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. That is the favor that Allah has granted them over you. And he gives whomever he wills what he wills. And Allah is the Lord of tremendous favor. So that a person is rich and then he is dini, is the favor of Allah. And that the person is rich is not dini, is out of Allah's design. That the person is dini and not rich also is from Allah's preordainment and from the choice of the person who is not dini. So this makes us understand that from the lot, the best of those are those who are dini and yet they have the wealth to spend. But he said here, it is ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And from the fadail, like we mentioned, of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, is that despite his deen, despite his iman, his wealth was also beneficial for the message of Islam. Such that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, like we always repeat, that مَا نَفَعَنِي مَالٌ مَا نَفَعَنِي مَالُ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. No wealth benefited me. In another riwayah, I said, مَا نَفَعَنَا. No wealth benefited us. We the Muslims. مَا نَفَعَنَا مَالُ أَبِي بَكْرٍ الصِّدِّيقِ. The way the wealth of Abu Bakr benefited us, alayhi salatu wasalam. So aside his iman, aside his knowledge, aside his khilaf, aside all of the issues of fadail, from his fadail, is that he had wealth that is spent on the path of Allah. So, and it's like that throughout the history of Islam. The best of those who transmitted knowledge amongst the companions here, those who flexed their knowledge, they also had something to spend, like Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. From the richest of the companions was Abu Huraira, especially after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He became very rich. And others amongst them. And the same thing from the time of the Tabi'un. From amongst the richest of them was Al-Imam al-Zuhri, alayhi rahmatullah. And he had time also to spread knowledge. Then from those who came after them, from the A'immat al-Arba'ah, from the richest of them was Abu Hanifa, Nu'man ibn Thabit. He was stinkingly rich. And then from those who came after them, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak. He was rich to Imam al-Layth ibn Sa'd. And all of these. So wealth supports the deen. Wealth supports the deen. Once we have it from Tariqul Halal, it supports the deen. It gives the deen strength. The deen of the one who has it. So, لا نتزهد عنها. We would not say, no, we don't want wealth. Wealth should go. We don't want. No, we want, but from halal. We want from Qasbul Halal. We don't want the way people want in the past times. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, whose hadith we read today, reported a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahih Muslim. He says, سَيَعْتِي أَلَى النَّاسُ زَمَانِ. He said, a time shall come unto people. لَا يُبَالِ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَيْنَ أَخَذَ أَمِنْ حَلَالٍ أَمْ مِنْ حَرَامٍ. A man will not care from how and where he earns. Is he earning from halal or is he earning from haram? He does not care. لَا يُبَالِ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَيْنَ أَخَذَ. From where is he getting his wealth? He will not care. Is it from halal? He does not care. Is it from haram? He does not care. The issue is jam'ul mal. Let me just gather wealth. So, once the case is not like this, if the jam'ul rizq is from halal, then this is mahmud. This is praiseworthy. Because it will serve as some assistance to the deen of the one who gathers the wealth. As we have read from that compilation, the hadith by the companions radiallahu anhu. Today, inshallah, we'll read the hadith of Abu Huraira also, like we said, Abu Rahman ibn Saqf al-Jusi radiallahu anhu, one of the most eminent companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in terms of his knowledge radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu qal, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كل سلامة من الناس عليه صدقة. He says كل سلامة من الناس عليه صدقة كل يوم تطلع فيه الشمس تعدل بين الاثنين صدقة وتعين الرجل في دابته فتحمله عليها أو ترفع له عليها متاعه صدقة والكلمة الطيبة صدقة وبكل خطوة يمشيها إلى الصلاة صدقة وتميط الأذى عن الطريق صدقة. رواه البخاري ومسلم. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, kullu sulama min al-naas alayhi sadaqatun illa yawmin tatlu'u fihi al-shams ta'adilu bayna thnayni sadaqatun wa tu'inu al-rajla fi dabatihi wa tahmiluhu alayha aw tarfa'u alayha mata'ahu sadaqatun aw tarfa'u lahu عليها متاعه صدقة والكلمة الطيبة صدقة وبكل خطوة يمشيها إلى الصلاة صدقة وتميت الأذى عن الطريق صدقة. رواه البخاري ومسلم. This hadith Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, a companion with the largest number of ahadith from amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the one who has memorized more ahadith, who has written more ahadith, he has more narrations than any companion of Allah's Messenger, radiallahu anhu. Abu Huraira was the one who has reported this hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He said he became rich later after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet was alive, at the time he was learning, he learned suffering. He learned suffering from hunger. Sometimes he will fall from severe hunger. Sometimes he tied stones to his stomach. He learned under very severe conditions. But with patience and Allah's mercy on him first, it was a situation that he surpassed and he got what he wanted. Because what he wanted, radiallahu anhu, was to be close to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That nothing should be said by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that would miss him. So as a result, he heard what others did not hear from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he has a lot of people's stories that connects him with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is an interesting story of when he hadn't anything to eat and he had to look for some milk. Some milk was brought to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he came to take from the milk, this hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad. And I think also Imam Muslim mentioned it in his Sahih. He came to take the milk, some of the milk from the Prophet also. So when the milk came, the Prophet وسلم, instead of giving him to drink as he thought it would happen, he said, drop the milk, go and call the rest of the people in the masjid. So Abu Huraira said, radiallahu anhu, this milk can't even be enough for myself and the Prophet. And yet he said, I should go and call the rest of the people in the masjid. Radiallahu anhu. So he called the people in the masjid. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, start giving it to the people one after the other. So he gave it to the first person. The person drank. He said, all this while, what was in his heart was, this milk will finish. And I needed this milk. He said, give it to this one. He gave it to him. Give it to the next person. He gave it to him. Give it to the next person. He gave it to him. Give it to the next person. He said, so when he was feeling that the milk was already getting finished, then he said, okay, drink your own. So he said, when he drank, drink again. Say, I said, drink again. He said, drink again. The Prophet was telling him, drink, drink. He said, I don't have anywhere to put the milk again. He said, forgive me. So the Prophet collected it and drank. After Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu had drunk his fill from the milk. So this was the kind of condition he was when he learned to the Prophet Muhammad. And in many cases, the Prophet prayed for him for retentive memory. Radiallahu anhu, Abu Huraira, Abdurrahman ibn Saha. Radiallahu anhu. So he reported this hadith from the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, said, Kullu sulama minan nas. عليه صدقة كل سلامة من الناس عليه صدقة every سلامة every مفصل the مفصل are the joints on the human body. The Prophet said عليه الصلاة والسلام every joint on the human body عليه صدقة has a right to be given صدقة on its behalf. Every joint on the body has, we have to pay some sadaqah on every joint of the human body. He says, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ تَطْلُعُ فِيهِ الشَّمْسِ. Every day that the sun rises, mankind, the joints of our body, they have a right that we pay some sadaqah for them, over them. There is some right of sadaqah over every joint of the body. Every day that the sun rises, we are due to give some sadaqah to each of the joints of our body. The ulama explained, Al-Imam Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar, alayhi rahmatullah. He says, وَالْمَعْنَى عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ مُكَلَّفٍ بِعَدَدِ كُلِّ مفصل من عظامه صدقة. He says والمعنى على كل مسلم مكلف. What this means is that على كل مسلم مكلف, it is due upon every legally responsible Muslim, every baligh aqil, every Muslim who is matured and sane, every matured and sane Muslim, it is due upon him that the other the kulli mafsilin min izamihi sadaqatan. For the number of the joints he has on his body, he has a, it is due upon him that he gives sadaqah upon the joints of his body. Lillahi ta'ala, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ala sabil shukri lahu, as a way of giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for every point of the joints, we give sadaqah as a way of giving or showing thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, بأن جعل عظامه مفاصل تتمكن بها من القبض والبسط. By that Allah made his joints to have, made his body to have joints, his body organs have joints, so that يتمكن بها, by that he is able to have القبض والبسط. He can grab, he can open the hands. So because he could grab, he could open the hands, it is deserving. He could move the neck, he could shake his body, he could sit down, he could stand up, he could fold his legs, he could do all of this. Then he should give thanks to Allah as a result. Every day that the sun rises, every day, he should give sadaqah, giving thanks to Allah as a result. Because Allah wants us to thank him for his mercy on us. Let us imagine there are some of the joints of the body that are immovable. But their being immovable is also a message from Allah. The scientists say that the joints of the head, the cranium, that there are joints there and those joints don't move. But they necessarily should be there. When those joints are not there on the cranium, there is crisis. The same thing, the joints of the body, those ones that move, they necessarily must move. So he gave us joints that should move, he gave us joints that should not move, he gave us joints that should only move within, you know, determined ranges. We can't move more than this. Such that we have a complete human being that could fold himself, that could sleep, that could do all of what we think about and what we do. So this is a great mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the hands have joints that cannot move, how do we get food to our mouths? How do we drink water? If the neck have joints that cannot move, how do we turn to look at the sides? If we make salah, how do we make the taslim? As-salamu alayhi. How do we do it? How do we make ruku? How do we make sujood? All those things in salah, how do we do them? How do we sleep? How do we stand up? How do we take our breath? I have had an experience where aspects of body can't move. It is really a difficulty. Whenever there's an aspect of the body that when it moves you are in pain, it is really, really, really painful. And the world, as if the world does not exist. So this favor of Allah that he gave us mafasil on our body, mafasil on our body that can move, that can, with which we can grab, we can extend, we can do so many things, is a favor, and he wants us subhanahu wa ta'ala to regularly give thanks to him for these favors. And when we are not giving thanks to him for those favors, he calls our attention that why are you not giving me thanks for this favor? Says ma garraka bi rabbika al-karim, ya ayyuha al-insan ma garraka bi rabbika al-karim. Oh man, ma garraka, what's deceiving you regarding your Lord? Al-Kareem, the bountiful, he's giving you a lot of favors. Allazi khalaqaka, he has created you, fasawwaka fa'adala, made you, he straightened you as he should be, he gave everything equal measure as it should be.
equally as they should be. The eyes where they should be, the head where they should be, where the joints should be movable, he made them movable. Where they should not be movable, he made them immovable. Where they should be only slightly movable, he made them to be only slightly movable. So ma darraka bi rabbikal karim alladhi khalaqaka fasawwaka fa'adala. He says, fi ayyi suratin ma sha'a. So this is the way Allah has created man, and he wants us to give thanks to him for these favors he has granted us to final work. That's why he told us again in Surah Al-Mulk, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ وَجَعْلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. He says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ, Allah is one who originated you. وَجَعْلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ, and he gave you the sense of hearing. وَالْأَبْصَارَ, the sense of sight, to see. وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ, and then your heart to conquer, to do so many things. قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ, but only a few give thanks. And that people give thanks, only a few. So giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these, from that is doing what? Giving sadaqah. Giving sadaqah for all the joints. We have a right that we give sadaqah upon them because they are from the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. So how is this going to be possible? The ulama, as the hadith in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam, that mankind is created to have 360 mafasil, these joints, 360. And the hadith is authentic. So how 360 sadaqat do we make per day? How easy is that? That everyone, everybody, every day has a right, all of his body, it has a right over him that he gives 360. He makes sadaqah 360 times every day. How is that? So, for those of us who perhaps may not have heard this hadith before, 360 times our age now, days, we are owing the sadaqah. And for those who knew the hadith but had not been asking of money, 360 sadaqah every day times the number of times we have not been given it. But Allah is merciful. The favor is still continuous, it's not stopping. So he has favored us with all of this. So he told us the means by which we could do this. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, Ta'adilu bayna ithnayn sadaqatu. When we give adala, when we make adl, when we make adl, when we make justice, it says, Ta'adilu bayna ithnayn sadaqatu. When you make justice between two people, you are also giving sadaqah. So you does not have to be giving your wealth in sadaqah. That is just for me. But when between any two, you make imma hukum between them or sulh, as the ulama say. You make hukum between them if you are a hakim. That is, you judge between them. He says, وَإِن جَاءُكَ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ قُوْ أَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ. So you judge in between two people. One oppress the other. You give justice to the one who is oppressed. So when you do that, it is from sadaqah. Or two people are in crisis. You have khusuma. You can't even determine who is most right or who is wrong. And you make peace between them. You make sulh between them. This is also from making, from giving out sadaqah. When you do that with justice, because Allah has ordered us to be just. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Allah has ordered you to give justice, to do justice at every point in time you deal with the people. Justice with yourself, justice with people. وَالْإِحْسَانِ, and be nice to them. So he says, عليه الصلاة والسلام, in this hadith, that تَعْدِلُ بَيْنَ اثْنَيْنِ صَدَقَةٌ. So a husband and a wife, they are in quarrel. You rectify what is in between them. It is from giving sadaqah. And that is also in line with the verse when he says, لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنْ نَجْوَاكُمْ إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ أَوْ مَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ إِصْلَاحٍ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. He says, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَٰلِكَ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ فَسَوْفَ نُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. He says, لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنْ نَجْوَاكُمْ. Much of teaching and deliberation. There is no benefit in it when people make it. إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ.
except those sittings that encourage people to give charity or ma'arufin, or to do other nice things to people, or islahin bayn al-nas, or to rectify what is in between two people. When sittings are like this, there is khair in it, a lot of good in those sittings. When the sittings are sittings of justice, you know, resolving things with people, doing good things, and extending good and benefits to people. He says, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. Don't forget, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. Whoever does this, seeking the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His favor and mercy, he says, فَصَوْفَ نُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. We shall give such persons, or such a person, great reward. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that from the means of getting the sadaqah for all the parts of our body over which we have to pay or we should pay the sadaqah is that we make justice between two people. We make rectification. We harmonize what is in between the two of them. وَتُعِينُ الرَّجُلَ فِي دَابَتِهِ. We help a man. عَلَى دَابَتِهِ. We help a man to go upon his ride. A man wants to climb maybe his horse or his camel or his donkey, his beast of body. You help him to get upon it. That also is considered to help a man to go upon his ride. So a man wants to go upon his bike, you help him to go upon his bike. A man wants to go ride upon his car, if he needs to be helped, you help him to ride on his car. Don't be surprised. How can that be possible? These days you take children to school. You carry them in the children in the car. If they have to be helped, you help them now. If they have to be helped to ride on the car, you help them to ride. It's from this hadith. It is also from sadaqah when you do so. Or you carry a sick person. The man is sick. He is grown up, but he's sick, he can't walk on his feet. So you help him onto the car or from the car. It's also from this hadith. You are making i'ana for him. The tukinu rajula fi da'abatihi. You help a man to ride upon his beast of body. Atashmiluhu alayha. So by that you carry him himself. You help him himself upon the ride. Aw tarfa'u lahu alayha mata'ahu. Or you help him to take his things. He could ride and you help him take your things. Because he couldn't come down to take those things. His items, his commodities, what belongs to him. To help him, give it to him. Or both of them. You help him upon the right, and you help him take the matter upon the right also. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that this is from what? Sadaqah also. He said, wal kalimatu tayyibatu sadaqah. Good words, kalimatu tayyibah. When you say good things to people, you say good things to people, you are not harsh with them. Some of the scholars have said that, the kalima tayyiba has to do with what is connected to man and what is connected to Allah. There's kalima tayyiba that's connected to Allah. And those are the statements of adhkar. Say la ilaha illallah. Say alhamdulillah. Say la akbar. All these kalimat, when we make adhkar, they are kalimatu tayyiba. So you say kalimatu tayyiba, al kalimatu tayyiba sadaqah. So when you make adhkar, it is sadaqah. Also, when you say good words to people, it says وَقُولُوا لِلَّهِ حُسْنًا. So, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. It says when you speak to people, speak well to people, talk well to people. Don't be harsh, don't be, you know, bad at speech, don't be unnecessarily aggressive and all of this. When you speak to the people, say that which is nice to them. It says وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. So when you speak to the people, say what is right. Say good things to them. So they say, Al-Kalimatu Tayyiba here refers to the statement of adhkar and the statements we make in our dealings with people. You are going to see that that involves everything we say. It means we have to say everything we say well. So when we make adhkar, we make them well. When we talk to people, we talk well to them and not be bad at speech to them. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that when we do that, it is from Sadaqa. All of these, we'll be going back to what our joints require for the day. Do we understand? We do these things, the joints get their share. Yes, the Sadaqa for me is paid. The Sadaqa for me to speak is paid. The Sadaqa for me is paid. So that's why perhaps, all the Muslims may not, you know, have to be owing, so to speak, the Sadaqa. Because the more we get engaged in this thing, the more Sadaqa that we would have made for the day. And don't forget that deeds are the tenth of reward. So one Sadaqa has 10 rewards. So by the time someone says 36 good things to people, it could have covered up 360 joints. The Sadaqa for 360 joints. It's still easy, but we try to, as much as possible, do as much as this thing. Because you wouldn't even know the one Allah will accept. He said to us that those who came before us, the past predecessors, as is in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that those who were referred to as as-sabiquna bil khairat bi idhnillah were referred to by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that humu allazina yasumuna wa yatasaddaquna wa yusallun wa yakhafuna alla yuqbala minhum. They pray, they fast, they make zakah, they make all of what you say. Lakin yakhafuna alla yuqbala minhum. They are scared that it will not be accepted. The Prophet said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. These are those who make effort towards good deeds. So the Muslim does not say, after I've prayed Salah today, so I've prayed my 360 Sadaqa. No. So that Salah is, has it been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have you not committed sins that could have also outweighed those things? So how the companions used to think. There is a story of Umar radiallahu anhu, after he was stabbed, radiallahu anhu, he was on the bed. This hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. So someone came to him and said, Umar, you are so lucky. You are the Khalifa of the Prophet. You are a companion of the Prophet. You fought about all the battles with the Prophet. And all of this. He was counting the virtues of Umar, like giving him glad tidings before death. So you don't need to be afraid. If you die now, no problem. So he was saying these things. Umar said, radiallahu anhu, I wish that these good things will outweigh my sins. Umar, radiallahu anhu. He has shahada that he will go to Jannah before the Prophet died, alayhi salam. Because he told Abu Malik in that hadith, فَكِئِذًا لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ. He says, فَفَتَحْتِ الْبَابِ فَكَانَ Umar. He says, somebody knocked, this hadith, Imam ibn Kathir said, is about the hadith from Mutawatir. Imam ibn Kathir said, this hadith is about Mutawatir. Kada an yuqal, alayhi rahmatullah. That the Prophet sat near the ring of a well, and that he told him to stay at the door. And when he came, he would say, when anyone took permission, he would come inside to ask the Prophet, should the person come in? Should the person come in? So when the first time it was Abu Bakr and Siddiq that came, he said, إِذًا لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ. Allow him to come inside and give him the glad tidings of entrance to Al-Jannah. He said, then he opened the door, it was Abu Bakr. Then secondly, he did that, he opened the door, it was Umar. So this is the man who is still saying that he hopes that his good deeds will outweigh the evil ones. So what about the sinful ones? What about the Muslims today who have not been told by Allah or his messenger in any way from revelation that he will get into Al-Jannah? So he has no cause to be satisfied with what he thinks he is doing to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, وَبِكُلِّ خَطْوَةٍ يَمْشِيهَا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ صَدَقَةٌ. He says, بِكُلِّ خَطْوَةٍ, by every step, يَمْشِيهَا, in another riwayah, يَحْتُوهَا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. He says, وَبِكُلِّ خَطْوَةٍ يَحْتُوهَا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. For every step that he takes to go to the masjid to perform his salah, sadaqah. He has sadaqah also. So you know when people go out of their homes, many people will take more than 360 steps before they get to their homes. So before they get to their mosques, to the salah. It says, وَبِكُلِّ خَطْوَةٍ يَمْشِيهَا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ صَدَقَةٍ. Every step he takes towards going to perform the salah in the masjid, he has the sadaqah. This kind of a hadith, and the hadith of Abu Huraira, another hadith of Abu Huraira, have been mentioned by the scholars to be the evidence of that going on the feet to the masjid is better than going on a ride. Except when the masjid is not a place that is easily accessible, except by going on the ride. Else, going on the feet is better by the text of this hadith than going on a beast of body. But going on the beast of body is also permissible, and Allah knows how to reward the one who goes on his beast of body, or his car, or his bike, or whatever ride he took or she took to the masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how to give the reward. But in this hadith, it says that بِكُلِّ خَطْوَةٍ يَخْطُوهَا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ صَدَقَةٍ. By every step that he takes to get to the masjid to perform his salah, he has the reward of sadaqah. He has sadaqah. He says, وَتُمِيتُ الْأَذَى عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ صَدَقَةٍ. إِمَاطَةُ الْأَذَى عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ. Removing harmful things from the road is from sadaqah. You know, this is mentioned to us in many ahadith. The hadith of al-imanu shu'batun bid'un wa sab'una shu'bah. It says al-imanu bid'un wa sab'una shu'bah. The riwayah to tun is not authentic. It is bid'un wa sab'un. 70. That's the report of the Imam al-Bukhari. So 70 some branches of iman. He says, "A'laha qawlu aw shahadatu an la ilaha illallah." He says the Most High, its apex is the testification, "La ilaha illallah." He says, "Wa adnaha." The least of them is removing harmful things on the road or from the road. He says, "Wal haya'u shu'batun min al-iman," and bashfulness is a branch of iman. This hadith has a lot of implications. This hadith of shu'batun iman has a lot of meanings as far as iman is concerned. So here, he's telling us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that when we remove harmful things from the road, look at how simple it appears. But many do not care. In fact, many are those who put the harmful things on the road from among Muslims. They are the ones who bring the harmful things to the road. Not that they are the ones who remove the harmful things from the road. Stones, anything, nails, any harmful thing, bottles, broken bottles, that will cause harm to passers-by. It should be, including urinating by a roadside, where people will pass by and perceive the odious odor, so to speak, of the urine or something like it. We should avoid it because that is from causing harm to people. That should be avoided on the road. That should be avoided in the mosque. From avoiding that also in the mosque is not being neat when we come to the masjid. Sometimes you get to the masjid, the next person standing behind you is oozing with odor. This is wrong. It's oozing with very, very, you know, it's a stench. This is not also good. In fact, that also causes harm to those angels who perform the salah in the masjid or who come to the masjid. Because it told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the angels are harmed by the kind of what man is harmed. He said, alayhi salam, that the angels are harmed by the kind of what we are harmed. The one who goes to the masjid with foul odor is plain foul. So he should remove this harm. He should not bring this harm to people. So this is talking about imatatul adha, removing the harm that is physical.
There is also removing the harm from the world of the people that is abstract, so to speak. And that is speaking against the people of innovation. When you speak against the evil of innovation and their innovation, exposing their evil and their innovation, you are also making it out of each other. And Tariq in Nas. The people want to know what is Haq, the Tariq, the path of Sunnah. So, but there are some of the people who stand by the way, not to make them know it, or to make them know the wrong thing. It has to be explained. So this is from removing harm from the road of the people, to get the things clearer to them. So make the reputation of these kind of people in circumstances, as the case demands it, is from Imamatul Adha and Tariq al-Nas. And that he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, is from what? For Daqa. He said, وَتُمِيتُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ صَدَقَةٌ. That you remove harm from the road is what? Sadaqah. When one does all these, he is fulfilling gradually, or as the case may be, fulfilling in the whole the sadaqah that is due upon the part of his body, like he said, that كُلُّ سُلَامَ مِنَ النَّاسِ عَلَيْهِ صَدَقَةٌ. Every joint of the human body has a right to be given sadaqah on its behalf. So how we can do it? Remove harm from the road, make tasbih, make tahleel, good words to people, you know, walk to the masjid, don't go with foul odor, you know, and all of these. Refute the people of innovation. When you do all of these, you are doing sadaqah. In another riwayah of this hadith by Imam Muslim and Abu Dawud, rahimahumallah, he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, that وَيَجْزِئُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ رَكْعَتَانِ يَرْكَعُهُمَا مِنَ الضُّحَى وَيَجْزِئُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ رَكْعَتَانِ يَرْكَعُهُمَا مِنَ الضُّحَى. Two rakats you make at the time of duha, salatul duha, salatul awwalin, will atone for all the sadaqah of the day. So a quick way to please all the sadaqah for the day, make two rakats of nafil at the time of the duha. He says, alayhi salatu wassalam, وَيَجْزِئُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ رَكْعَتَانِ يَرْكَعُهُمَا مِنَ الدُّحَى. Two rakats that he brings up, two units of salah that a person performs at the time of duha, yajzi'u an kulli dhalik. It suffices, it atones, it pays for all of that. All of that 360 and all of the sadaqah, the joints of the body are required to be given on your behalf. Two rakats of nafil at the time of duha. So you see how important salatul duha is. Salatul duha. This is from what makes us understand its importance. الإمام النووي عليه رحمة الله. He says فيه دليل على عظم فضل الضحى. This hadith that Salatul Duha takes the place of the sadaqah we are to give on the day on behalf of the joint of our body. It shows how great Salatul Duha is. Its importance. وكبير موقعها. And the greatness of its place in Islam. وَأَنَّهَا تَصِحُ رَكْعَتَيْنِ. And that Salatul Duha could be two rakats. It could be two rakats. That is, perhaps some of the people say it is not, except it is four rakats. But this hadith shows that Salatul Duha, because it says رَكْعَتَيْنِ يَرْكَعُهُمَا مِنَ الدُّحَى. It means Salatul Duha could be two rakats. He says, وَالْحَفْتُ عَلَى الْمُحَافَظَةِ عَلَيْهَا. This hadith is also evidence that we should keep the performance. We should keep the performance of Salat. So everyone who performs two rakat at the time of Duha, he has paid for his sadaqah for the day. He has paid for it. In another hadith, he says, if it is two rakat, لَمْ يُكْتَبْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. If it is four rakat, يُكْتَبُ مِنَ الْعَابِدِينَ. Like that. And if it is 12 rakat, he said,
Dunya lahu baytan fil jannah. Banallahu lahu baytan fil jannah. 12 rak'ah. That's mentioned by Imam al-Tabrani. And Sheikh al-Albani mentioned the hadith to be Hassan in his Sahih Tarbib wa Tarbib. 12 rak'ah. So duha could be 2 rak'ah. Duha could be 4 rak'ah. Duha could be 8 rak'ah. Duha could be 12 rak'ah. And the reward is mentioned for each of them as we perform. But the one who performs just 2 rak'ah, it suffices for his sadaqah for the day. So this hadith makes us understand. In another report on Salat al-Duha, it says, لا يحافظ على صلاة الضحى إلا أواب. لا يحافظ على صلاة الضحى إلا أواب. No one is regular with the performance of Salat al-Duha except the person who is regularly turning to Allah in repentance. The one who likes to turn to Allah in repentance is the one you see being regular with Salat al-Duha. It's easy. Just make 2 rakats, or 4, or 6, or 12, as it is, or 10. I think there's a report of 10 for Salat al-Duha. But if 2 quick ones is easy, 2. It's better than not doing anyone. So Salat al-Duha is very, very important that we perform it as Muslims to get the reward for our daily sadaqah that's upon us to pay. For the favors of Allah for our joints that He has granted us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, kullu sulama minan nas alayhi sadaqah. Every joint on human body has a right to be paid sadaqah for. Kulla yawmin tatlu'u fihi shams. Every day that the sun rises, it has a right that we give sadaqah on behalf of these joints of our body. And from the ways of giving the sadaqah is ta'dilu bayna ithnayn. When you make adl, justice between 2 people, as explained, you have done sadaqah. Tatu'inu rajula fi dabbatihi. You help a man to ride his beast of burden. You have also done sadaqah. وَتَحْمِلُهُ عَلَيْهَا. You take him, you help him climb it, or you take him upon it. أَوْ تَرْفَعُ لَهُ عَلَيْهَا مَتَاعَهُ. Or you help him raise his things to him on his ride. It is sadaqah. It says, وَالْكَلِمَةُ الطَّيِّبَةُ صَدَقَةٌ. Good words is also from sadaqah. وَبِكُلِّ خَطْوَةٍ يَمْشِيهَا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ أَوْ يَمْشِيهَا وَبِكُلِّ خَطْوَةٍ تَمْشِيهَا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ صَدَقَةٌ. Every step you take towards the masjid. So this love in this arbaun is that of al-Imam Muslim. In Sahih Bukhari, instead of تَعْدِلُ يُسِي يَعْدِلُ. Instead of تَمْشِيهَا يُسِي يَمْشِيهَا. But this love تَعْدِلُ تَمْشِي تَفْعَلْ تَحْمِلُهُ is from the love of Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih. So, وَاللَّفْزُ لِلْمُسْلِمِ. So, رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِ وَمُسْلِمِ وَاللَّفْزُ لَهُ. يعني للمسلم. So, when we do that, we make sadaqah. وَبِكُلِّ خَطْوَةٍ تَمْشِيهَا إِلَّا الصَّلَاةِ صَدَقَةٌ. Every step you take to the masjid is from sadaqah. وَتُمِيتُ الْعَدَى عَنِ الطَّرِيكِ صَدَقَةٌ. When you remove evil from the road of the people, you have also given sadaqah by that. This hadith has been titled by Imam al-Nawawi as Kafratu Turuki al-Khayr. The largeness, the plentiness of the paths to goodness. You see, all of these paths are paths to goodness. Make justice to people, speak well to people, help somebody to ride his, climb his ride, help him down his ride, give him something upon his ride, and all of this, they are from the ways of goodness. The Imam al-Nawawi titled this hadith, Kafratu Turuqil Khair, the largeness of the path to goodness. We ask Allah to make us understand this hadith better than it has been explained. So these are the explanations we could give on this hadith. And the hadith is reported by Al-Imam Bukhari and Muslim. So we could just say the hadith is what? Muttafaqun alayhi. بين البخاري ومسلم. We stop here, inshallah. If there are questions, we could give responses. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Okay. The first one is
Ibn Umar or Aisha?
Aisha. Second one is
Are you sure or you have an opinion by Ibn Umar?
I think it was
It was Aisha. No.
Secondly, Ibn Umar, anytime he meets the Prophet of Prejudice, he normally brings it up during the time of the day. I don't know.
Well, the fourth issue is the issue of the report of Aisha radiallahu anha. And some of the people, unfortunately, have taken that as the making it appear as if there is no any other hadith on Salatul Duha. And that is that Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Prophet, she never saw him alayhi salatu salam performing Salatul Duha. And that when he did that, he would do it in the masjid when he returns from the journey. So it was like in the house, he would not perform Salatul Duha. He has to perform Salatul Duha in the masjid. Or that when he came back from a journey. Or that he did it only sometimes, out of the knowledge of Aisha. Because there are many other reports regarding the performance of Salatul Duha. Like this one that he said. Some of people say no. It means we should not make muhafazah ala Salatul Duha. And some other scholars say no. Like Sheikh Umar Bazmoud. He said no. We should not say we should not do muhafazah. That is regular performance of Salatul Duha. Because the Prophet has told us, alayhi salatu salam, la yuhafizu ala Salatul Duha illa awwab. It means he's encouraging us to make muhafazah. That is to perform it regularly. Do you understand? He says, la yuhafizu ala Salatul Duha. So why do you say because Aisha is reporting that she didn't see him? She didn't see him. When she said she didn't see him, it does not mean that he does not perform it. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he told us, la yuhafizu ala Salatul Duha illa awwab. No one is regular in the performance of Salatul Duha, except one who regularly repents, regularly comes to Allah in repentance. So it means we all should try to regularly perform Salatul Duha. And from that is this hadith too. That wa yajzi'u an kulli dhalik madha rak'atan yartakuhuma min ad-duha. Two rakats that he performs. So the one who wants to pay sadaqah and regularly performs Salatul Duha to pay for his sadaqah upon the joints of his body, he will do that. That also is from indication of mudawam. Al-hafsu ala al-mudawam. That's encouraging us to regularly perform Salatul Duha. And from the best of deeds that the Prophet likes his word, the Allah likes his word, adwamuha. From the best of good deeds is the one that is what regular or in Allah, even if it is small. So all this makes us understand that there is no evidence to say that we cannot regularly perform Salatul Duha. The best of what we can say about the hadith of Aisha, she did not see him performing Salatul Duha. That she didn't see him performing Salatul Duha is no evidence that he never performed Salatul Duha. Just like the hadith of that any person who reports that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stood while urinating has lied. This is her own report. He never urinated while standing. The hadith of Hudhayfa alayhi rahmatullah is there that the Prophet got to the busata of a group of people and urinated there standing. This hadith is reported by Ashabu Kutub al-Sittah. The hadith of Hudhayfa, Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmizi, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam Tabarani, Ashab. Rawah al-Jama'a, this hadith of Hudhayfa, that the Prophet stood in a Bola area, so to speak, of a group of people of a tribe in Medina, and he urinated their standing. But the report of Aisha is that anyone who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever urinated standing has lied. So Was it everywhere in Medina the Prophet went, Aisha went to him? So we say, no, she reported what she knew about him. And Huzaifa reported, radiallahu anhu, what he saw about him. وَالْمُثْبِتُ مُقَدَّمٌ عَلَى النَّاسِ And the report that is saying, something happened, I saw something happen, takes precedence of the one who said, I did not see. The one who didn't see, didn't see. The one who didn't hear, didn't hear. But the one who saw and reported should not be denied that no, you didn't see it. So those reports will be taken in the sense that Aisha radiallahu anha reported what she knew about the affair of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and salatul duha. Allahu a'lam. There's a question on Ibn Umar. Rakat al-Fajr. We can perform it if someone is one who performs not only Rakat al-Fajr, any of those sunan that we are regular upon, when we miss them, we should perform them at the time that we are able to perform them. Anyone who is regular with the performance of any of the sunan, any of the rawatib, or in nawafil, he should perform them when he is able to perform them. No. Alaykum
salam.
That is the meaning of it being duha. Duha is from sunrise, from after sunrise. From we perform salatul subhi waiting the masjid, the sun would have risen. In another report, he said salatul duha is at the time that the camel's child, the little camel feels the heat of the sun. So that is the time. But even ulama say that is the best time for salatul duha. But because salatul duha could be performed before that time, once the sun is just rising, from after then the salatul duha could be performed. So that's what is referred to as Ishraq too in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. There is no difference between Salatul Ishraq and Salatul Duha except in the time. Salatul Ishraq is the Salatul Duha performed at the earliest time. So it is called Ishraq. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum Salaam. Well, perhaps that could be mentioned from being easy at selling. So the easy with the people when you sell things to them, or when you buy things to them, is from Sadaqah too. Because there are narrations from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that makes us understand that every good deed is a Sadaqah. Every good deed is a Sadaqah. And to be easy while buying or to be easy while selling, to be easy while giving somebody money as like a debt, loaning somebody, or collecting your loan, from all of these is Sadaqah, because people find ease in it. They are good deeds. So it could be mentioned to be from good deeds if it is done with that intention. Because let's not forget that good deeds are not good deeds except when they come with two or three things. The first of it is that it must be done for the sake of Allah, al-ikhlas. Al-ikhlas. So this is where ulama say, imanan wa ihtisaban. Every good deed must come with these two things. You must have iman that Allah is the one who ordered this thing. He encouraged it, or the Prophet ordered and encouraged it. Then ihtisaban, you expect the reward from Allah. From imanan is that we have ikhlas with Allah while doing it. Then ihtisaban, we expect that Allah rewards us for it. Then perhaps it should be in line with the sunnah of the Prophet. So if someone reduces the price of his items on sale, he reduces the price, having iman, the Prophet encouraged us to be nice and easy with the people when we buy and sell. So he wants to be easy with them when he sells to them. He does, the Prophet wants us to do so. And I am doing so to make things easy for the people, expecting Allah's reward for that. He'll get the reward, inshallah. And that is from Sadaqah. it will help him from the depth of his sadaqah for his deeds for the day. Inshallah. We'll stop here, inshallah, for today. We'll read the next hadith, the hadith of Nawas ibn Sam'an. Nawas ibn Sam'an is the companion that reported a very lengthy hadith about the last hour, the hadith of Dajjal. Very lengthy hadith, reported by Imam ibn Majah. But we'll read his hadith, inshallah, next week, if Allah gives us the opportunity. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.